Okay, so you're listening to episode 3 of Water on the Dipstick. Today, we're going to try to talk about the C8 Corvette, but inevitably spend a lot of time talking about electric cars.
Did we not talk about the C8 Corvette
episode
for the
one.
First episode?
That was literally the synopsis of episode 1.
That was the joke.
Okay. I mean, it also worried me. I thought we were going to repeat the whole conversation.
Just talk about it again.
So,
okay.
In case you missed episode 1, we'll recap that in episode 3.
And if you have heard it, go listen to it.
In episode 4, we'll be recapped in episode 2. So prepare yourself.
Those will be 3-hour rehashings of an hour-long podcast. Enjoy.
Okay, so I do have two things tonight, and I thought I would put it up to y'all. Maybe we can hit both a little bit. In all seriousness, I did want to borrow from last time's format because I have a different version that I think would be fun to do. And this one actually would be fun because I think we could do it in real life because it doesn't involve buying a $400,000 car. but we can get to that later. As far as an upfront topic, I, at one point during the day, found myself on Ford's website. I was looking at all the different cars that I can't afford to build, and I noticed
such
that
as
literally
everything.
Okay. If it's not a Maverick, then I'm pretty much out.
Even the Maverick is steep. Once you get it where you want it, you're like, ah.
You know, it's about 10% grade. Yeah. So, I was looking at all the different options, and I noticed that it feels like to me, and I kind of tried a different website or two just to see, it seems like there's a lot less... There are much fewer bespoke options when you build and price. And that's not necessarily true of the new Bronco, because there's like 800 versions out. But it does seem like, and I had noticed this about something else, like because car companies are always going through changes and they'll kind of get bloated on what they offer and then they'll kind of consolidate. Like one of the things one of the things that Ford has done recently is consolidate the car line to nothing but hatchbacks. Like the only thing that's considered a car that Ford manufactures right now is, of course, the Mustang. And even among it, I mean, you've got the
Mach-E.
Well, that's not a Mustang. and that's funny enough, they know it's not a Mustang because when you go to pick under cars to build and price, it's not an option. You have to go under crossovers and SUVs.
See?
Yeah, they know. But
marketing doesn't know.
Yeah. But, even among... So there's currently a Mach 1. Actually, it's kind of a good... It's a robust year, I guess, for Mustang. There's a GT Premium. There's a Mach 1. There's a GT500. So they've got a couple of things. But looking at, like, the different truck options and stuff like that, it really seems like there's not a lot of... It seems like there's fewer features to choose from.
The dealer options are actually more exciting to me.
Okay.
So like, if you go to a dealer and you order, some of them have... there's some that will do the two-tone paint jobs, like the 1990s Ford trucks, and they'll put KC lights on it.
Oh.
Which is super cool. It's a retro package.
Well, then that kind of answers it. Because my question, and I do genuinely mean this as a question, as much as we can formulate one for... something so unscientific and subjective as I went on Ford's website today. I was going to ask, do you all think that it's because of, is it a supply chain thing? And is it the new, you know, are cars really homogenizing that much? And is that where we're headed? Or are they just consolidating and will it get kind of bloated again here soon? You know, because one thing that's really, really true, if we are, well, I don't know who all thought this, but when we talked about electric cars, if the assumption is correct that it's going to move towards that being most of what's on the road, there's just, like, essentially, it's how do you want to be oriented in the car and how much cargo space do you want? Like, there's just not a lot of variability for a manufacturer to chase after, right? Because it's all going to be the same EV platform generally. I mean, that's what GM's doing. It's literally like the same EV platform for all the stuff. And
yeah, the only thing you get powertrain-wise would be a dual motor versus a single versus if it has the option for three.
Right.
Like, that's not that many choices compared to what you have now.
Right. So, I mean, what do? You've got, okay, this is our electric car with four doors and a trunk. This is our electric car with four doors and a hatch. This is our electric truck. This is our electric SUV. Like, you know, it's like, what do you...
It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
It all has the same specs, maybe a different size battery pack. But you're just selling a shape.
Yeah. I mean, is that what... I don't know. Thoughts?
I'd like to think things aren't moving that quickly in that direction. Partially because I see things being kept alive. Even if it's in a transition phase. I know I've beat this like a dead horse. That's a thing people say. But like the hybridization of the Mustang. Everyone thought they would get rid of the V8. But they're not. They're pairing the Coyote with an electric motor.
Hmm.
So that'll be pretty cool, honestly. Because then you'll get the torque curve of an electric motor. Or most electric motors. I mean, because like, we don't even talk about if they're alternating or direct current. Because there's so many different types of motors out there. Tesla's really just sort of paved the way with their technology, though. And the fact that the... I don't even truly know what this is. But apparently the part on the motor called the squirrel cage... can spin a lot faster. That might be electric motor slang for all I know. But
we squirrel powered cars out.
Yeah,
there.
We do.
We've known that all along.
But it allows it to turn like 19,000 RPM. It's just the fact that you can get that many revolutions, whereas a lot of them would redline. I know they don't redline, but for the sake of just talking about it like it's an engine, it's like 9,000, 8,000 RPM. And just how fast you can spin it is going to determine your top speed and your horsepower at some point, because that's the RPMs of that thing.
Right.
The revolutions it's making.
It's more powers work over time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Zach?
I don't know. Unfortunately, I'd say there's a bunch of people that already look at cars that way, so it won't affect them.
That's true.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, does it?
They don't care right now. They're saying, well, I need this to get the family around, or I need a truck so I can haul this and that, you know, and... so be it. They don't really care. They're looking for the shape. So for those people, I don't think it really matters that much. But it would be sad to see the options go, you know. I mean, it's always makes it interesting for us enthusiasts to have something that's like, oh, that's really cool. That's a neat little feature that only this model has, you know.
Yeah, and that kind of borrows some, I mean, historically, you go back far enough in time, and there's a stretch in automotive history, not that it's not necessarily true now too, but there's a stretch in automotive history where very few paint options repeat from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that is there was just not a lot of delineation from one year model to the next for certain stretches in the history of car manufacturing. And really one of the only ways you can, you know, generate a new demand is, it's like, well, you can only have this color if you bought this year's car, you know?
Yeah.
And we laugh, but then, you know, I feel like we kind of fall victim to that. We hit troughs where we have lots of big jumps. I feel like we're in a big jump right now, but then there's kind of stretches, you know?
We say that, but like, if you look at the whole scope of the automobile, if the rotary would have actually taken off and not had so many apex seal failures, would it have been what replaced the quote-unquote traditional internal combustion engine, still being an internal combustion engine, but just of a different type? Because everyone thought it was the answer in the 80s and the 90s, to the point where they had bought into it. Ford had to buy the rights to work with it. GM was doing a mid-engine Corvette in the 70s that had a four-rotor in it. I think it's a four-rotor. Could have been a two-rotor.
Gosh,
and that would have been wicked and wild, but it just wasn't feasible for anyone but NSU, who worked with the Wankel rotary, and then Mazda, who actually made it a mainstay in their sports cars.
Hmm.
Not to play like a different angle on all this, but like the car has changed significantly over time, and it's wild to think that since the Benz carriage, like for Carl Benz to have built that motorized carriage, the formula of what powers the thing has not changed, although it picked up more cylinders, and it went to direct injection as opposed to I don't know, an updraft carburetor or whatever was on it. It's just, I don't know, I think the change would have come sooner because everything else, like look at technology in your phones to your laptops and everything getting smaller and faster and the demand is just there.
It is funny to think about because I feel myself pinned between two truths. On the one hand, I look at it and go, okay, we're working with these really fluid shapes in cars, and we're looking kind of futuristic. But
unless you're Porsche, keep the same design.
We know they're the best, so
pretty timeless. Right. Yeah, we like them a lot. We're pretty biased.
But then you go back through history, and you can so clearly walk through the decades in your head. Right, mm-hmm. So you have these 5-window coupes in the 30s and even 40s, you can kind of picture that, and then you start to come in to the
Thunderbirds in the 50s. Yeah, you're sticking with the Ford theme.
Yeah, and then you've got these, or even the GM stuff. You've got these long rectangular
Impalas.
Yeah.
Big fins too.
It's supposed to look like what it was spaceship design, mm-hmm. but it was kind of that.
Speaking of the Chrysler turbine car, like some people took it to the extreme, and it was amazing.
Right.
Too bad we didn't go to jet fuel for our common fueling system.
Well, it
great current economy. I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's not pricing.
Well, the problem with jet fuel is that it can't melt steel beams, but
we won't get into that.
It can weaken it. I don't find that stuff. But anyways, yeah. But then okay, so you go to the 60s, and well, the Corvette's kind of it stays really pretty and kind of has some European flair to it, right? Because I'm looking at it's a C2 obviously on the wall, and you can see. I'm not saying who came first. I'm just saying that has more in common with a Jaguar or a Ferrari of that era than it does a Camaro.
It's supposed to be Americans? Wrong. America's sports car.
Right.
And we didn't have one technically at the time.
And so you've got the Corvette kind of stands alone. But then you look at, everything from a Charger, a Duster, kind of the Mustang. It was a little softer on the edges. But, you can just walk through the 70s. We just won't talk about.
It was a response to a crisis. Yeah. Everyone sees it that way.
It was its own crisis.
It was.
The 80s are boxy, and we have these really, like low-power electronics. They don't have a lot of...
Till you look at rally influence in the 80s, when you talk about...
That's true.
Squared-off fenders, and you talk about really cool, just like... wild wings you didn't think would be on a, I don't know, on a commuter car, honestly. So I'm thinking across the pond, like the Cosworths. The Quattro, definitely. But anytime you look at some of the Ford, I can't remember which one it is. I'll get railed for this, but one of the Cosworth models had like that weird whale tail looking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what you're talking about.
I think it's an answer.
Was that the 80s, though? Or was that 90s?
Might have been the 90s. But all I'm getting at is rally influence, 1980s, 1990s. Group B rally was insane, to the point where it just got called off because it got too wild.
Yeah. And then the 90s, you get the kind of the round, bulbous, like, kind of weird. And then
it was the spaceship car, honestly. It was like we're approaching the 2000s, so everyone's trying to round it off. If you've ever seen the concept car for the SN95, it's rounder than the production car was ever going to be, which is sort of wild to me because it's one of the most rounded Mustangs. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad it didn't work out.
It's all right. Nothing can beat a Catfish Camaro's round mouth.
It's
just the perfect oval right out in front.
And I don't know what it is about slapping a Pontiac sticker on a Catfish Camaro that makes me like them, though. Well, of course, a WS6 has different ground effects and stuff, but...
And then there's the fact it's a Holden on some levels when you start going down the line and you say, I like the Pontiac GTO, and you're like, yeah, the Australians really, they do a good job with that.
Man, that's a cool car. Well, I mean, but that's been, like, Chevrolet's been kind of sneakily... Not even sneakily, Chevrolet's been doing that for, then and onward. It's like, hey, let's just put this unbelievably successful, unbelievably well-engineered...
platform on our soil.
Yeah, I'll just put it in
everyone
everything.
Does it, though. I mean, not the Mustang. That's scary. The Taurus, stealing the looks from the Jags when Ford owned Jag and Aston Martin at the same time, and they just, like, this looks great. It's an Aston Martin. Let's make our sedans look like this.
I mean, from a performance perspective, I mean,
that's fair.
You know, Chevrolet's got this great thing going where they're like, yeah, we're just going to drop this really small footprint, high efficiency V8, power efficiency, not necessarily fuel efficiency. Or at least cheap power. You know, it's like, we're going to put it in a GTO, we're going to put it in a Cadillac, put it in a truck. It's just...
Versatility was key to making that a cheap power plant. Corvettes to trucks. Like, of course, it's amazing.
To be fair, Ford kind of put their money where their mouth is. There was a 5.4 in an F-150, and there was a 5.4 in the GT. I mean, and obviously...
Yeah.
They're not the same motor.
Unless you're getting a 0304 Lightning, then they're more similar than anyone would want to believe.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Why even detune them, Ford? But so this is what I was getting at all along. So we just did, in this exercise, walk through the decades, and we can see how we keep moving into new eras of aesthetic. Maybe it's just because I've been so hyper aware since the 2010s, but we hit the retro resurgence in 2005, right? Mm-hmm. And Ford kind of leads the way, and we get a lot of cool cars out of it. But it feels like, to me, 2005 onward, we're now approaching 16 years of refining the retro resurgence.
You think it's still there?
Okay, so here's
the Dodge certainly.
That's yes, that's exactly.
Okay, that's fair. I'm
Challenger,
getting too pinpointed.
Charger,
the Camaro was never retro resurgence, in my opinion. The whole nameplate coming back was, but 2010,
2010 to like 2014 was a pretty good retrofit of the Camaro. But
yeah, I guess I don't know. They never really hit the nail on the head like the Challenger and the Mustang.
The Z28 did pretty good when it
13,
came back.
14, yeah, that's it what did. I'm saying. Yeah, no, that's great.
That one was.
But after that, it started to go so. They lost their way.
It went too far futuristic now.
But what's weird is people will still buy the Mustangs the way they look.
That's true.
People won't buy because the big lower grill on the Camaro is just massive.
Chevrolet has a problem with front ends. I don't know. Don't know how to make a grill.
I've got a problem with my back end, but that's a whole nother podcast.
You should write to Chevrolet.
Yeah, I will. Sir, I will have
backfire.
I will have you know. So we look at that, and I guess my thing, again, I don't know what it is, because it's a totally valid argument that a lot of it could just be the I'm paying more attention now, and the nuance is lost because I'm here to see it come one year at a time versus right. getting to jump from the 50s to the 90s in 3 minutes. Are we...
Well, just glossing over a lot of really great cars.
Right, right. Are, you know, we're, if we continue to homogenize... Okay, so looking at the SA30 on the wall, it looks... Now, granted, back in the S...
It's S197 still.
But the S550 did pull some cues from an SN95. I'm not disputing that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, in my mind, that looks more like an S550 than it does an SN95. To me. Despite that being...
Or the S550 looks more like it? Or it still looks more like the 95 with inspiration from that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's what I mean. Because that is, by years, could be closer to an SN95 than it is an S550.
Right.
But it looks more like an S550.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I'm...
Because it's the transition, you know?
Fair enough.
They did the restyling in 2010, and then it started to just look more round, and they started massaging it. I think it sort of led people to what is the 2015 Mustang look. To where it wasn't just a shock, because if it stayed... Like, mine and Zach's cars just square all the way around. No soft edges for the most part.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you get this sort of Ford Fusion-y looking front end. The rest of the car looks pretty phenomenal. I still can't get over the front ends. They look better on some, like the Roush and the Saline models, and the GT350 and the 500.
Even the 18 looks better.
Well, that's because they did the front end refresh.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They improved on it.
Yeah.
They heard the backlash somewhat.
Yeah, they did. Because of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With our one listener.
Right. Not to mention that happened years ago, and we're sitting here now.
Yeah, it's only 4 years in the future.
Doesn't matter.
Time traveling's real. Sorry, you were going somewhere with that, and I absolutely just yanked the carpet out from underneath you.
That really is. That was the whole thing. Is like even looking, walking through the Camaro, like you have this wild streak in the 90s, and then everything is kind of a more pure form there that's kind of working itself out. And, you know, something else that matters a great deal, the one thing that never changed with the resurgence is they just look fatter.
Well, because it's
safety stuff. I get it. It's crash ratings and stuff. But you look at, everyone's like, you know, and the Challenger came the closest to being dimensionally proportional to the original Challenger.
Just because the old ones were so big. If you ever seen them in a car show, you're like, whoa.
There's something about how their lines tuck up under the car. There's something about how the front end comes to a point. Like, you look at one, and if you're a car enthusiast, like my wife, she couldn't tell you. We'd do good if she could tell you what color it was. She's so unaware of it. but, you know, it's like, to me, it always struck me, everyone's like, it looks exactly the same. Like, it looks nothing like exactly the same. It's a really, really good homage.
Mm-hmm.
But the safety thing, there's just something about how cars in the bygone era come to a point. I don't know. I don't know how else to describe it. The proportions are different.
Yeah, it's wild. So do you think manufacturers overall are moving, and this was my biggest concern, because I wanted to draw cars coming out of high school, didn't everyone, but I don't know, you spend enough time doing it, and you look at how designers shape cars, and you notice it's around one basic design concept. How slippery can it be? What is the drag coefficient? And we have to keep these certain cues. If it's a Mustang, we keep a horse in the grill. We keep the tri-tail lights in the back. If it's a Camaro, then you need to put a bow tie on it somewhere, and you might want to try to integrate some older style taillights. But it's at least going to have some fin work on it, probably in front of the, or I guess behind the door at the front of the quarter.
Front of the rear wheel.
You know what? That's that right there. Now we've come to the precipice of this conversation. We are 70 years deep in this experiment in domestic performance, right? I mean, I know we're a little further, but I mean, you know, we've fancied ourselves scientific for, you know, 80 years, right around. We know so much of how we design now is just empirically known beforehand.
Yeah, the wind tunnel decided.
Right.
Not a designer, not someone saying, that looks good.
And what happened in the past was we would try things, and they would work out, and it was this very rudimentary, you know, scientific method where, essentially, through accident and trial and error, we would find things that worked. And now it's not that way. Now we model it, and we run simulations. We run accurate simulations digitally. We never have to build the physical example to put in the wind tunnel.
It's just sad because what really gets designers believing in a car is standing next to the shape and being like, we should actually build this. There's something about seeing it in front of you and being able to scale it with your eyes, like with natural light, and being able to feel it too. I've heard stories where guys will touch a clay model and they feel the lines on the car and they're like, this is it. Huh. This is the one. As opposed to just seeing a rendering, and I'm not trying to say that computers have ruined it. We've built some beautiful cars on a screen and then made them reality. It's just, I think it is sort of killing the design side of it.
Well, and I guess my question becomes, to borrow from last night, the Platonian ideal. Every version, there's a version of the Mustang that is just the most efficient as far as drag is concerned. There's the greatest version of the Camaro, there's the greatest version of the Corvette, there's the greatest version of the Charger, there's the greatest version of the Challenger. Once you arrive there, do you go backwards? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
but we say greatest version, and you had to define it, so you're talking about drag coefficient, but that doesn't necessarily It doesn't show up in sales. It doesn't have to reflect sales figures. It doesn't reflect people's interest in the car or necessarily its performance. It'll be slippery in one way, but will it have the lateral traction to back it up? Or we have to work in a lot of systems to make it work?
That's true. That's a good point.
Also, you should probably explain what the Platonian ideal is. Yeah,
I totally botched that. Well, in layman's terms, just that there's a... What exists somewhere in the universe, whether natural or supernatural, is the perfect ideal of what something could be. And essentially, a lot of times, our perceptions and what we think of are imitations of that ideal. So if you imagine a chair, every person, whoever built a chair, is imitating the ideal, even if it itself is not the ideal. Though, I guess I'm kind of misusing that, because the implications he intended are not the lowest drag coefficient Mustang, but let me just counterpoint, because you have a really good point, but let me just counterpoint. I don't care what it would do to sales. A Corvette is never going to have headlights that stick out and fins in front of the bumper.
Yeah.
That's never coming back. You know what I mean? I mean,
that was an era thing.
Yeah.
I think it's gone.
Yeah.
But you look at the competition, so the one I can think of off the top of my head, like a 55 Mercedes, the Gullwing, the SL300s, they look a lot, like, they don't obviously look exactly like that, but, like, the styling, the fin face, the fact that you've got, it's a teardrop shape as you go back, but it's got a lot of wind resistance in the front.
Yeah.
But it looked good.
No, I think they look great. It's just, that's, you know, I don't care what it would do for sales. That's never coming back.
You think there's this, though. The electric car is going to be it can overcome so much. I get that aerodynamics will matter at highway speeds, and that even then it's on the upper end. But so long as the highway speed is 70 or 75, it will not matter all that much in the grand scheme of things.
That's fair. But what we've, and I may change, but what we've seen so far, no electric company is seeking to, I mean, you know, to antiquate themselves. I mean, they're all trying to design. Look how hideous.
It's the future. Yeah.
Look how hideous the Cybertruck is. That's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
That's hilarious.
Indestructible windows.
Yeah.
The best thing that can happen regarding me in a Cybertruck is it running me over and killing me because I had to look at it.
It'll actually turn you into part of it. That's the curse of the Cybertruck.
Oh, it's so ugly. And I hope it's great. You know, I hope Elon Musk gets to go to Mars or whatever the heck he's after, but I don't, I mean, I just don't, it's so ugly. But
okay, so on the flip side, there's some people that really care about their heritage, and so the Nissan Z, the 2023, they took a 300Z, they took a 280 Datsun, they took a 350Z, like, there's so many different angles you look at this car,
and an R35, and an R35, I'm just gonna...
They definitely did. It's got a lot of good looks in it without losing the DNA of what is a Z car.
Absolutely.
It looks so good. I just wish they'd put the mirrors on the hood.
Yeah. But we live in the U.S.
I am dead serious. I wish they'd put the mirrors on the hood.
Oh, I've seen it.
There'll be a mod for it, and I'll be doing it. $10.
$10. Tape them on.
Yeah.
Duct tape.
Sound like Ford's way of putting hood scoops on.
Yikes. That hit home.
Okay, well, that was some really intense car talk, so we're ready to go. We need one of those transitions. Where's my phone?
What was your pitch?
For the other half?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That was really, really car heavy. So now, let's do car adjacent, like last time.
I like that. Okay. Car adjacent is easy and soft.
Yeah, and we did it in the right order. You know, people have to suffer through the intense car talk. Actually, no, just edit it and post, but leave this in so it's really, really just...
confusing.
Yes.
Disorienting. Discombobulating.
Okay. Yeah, all those. Okay, this week's challenge. Get Craigslist fired up. Okay, here it is, boys. We've got to put it in real life, so we're talking about right here, right now, for sale right here, right now, we're going... end of January, coming into February, we're driving to Alaska.
Oh, I'm done. Good.
You have...
just go for it.
$5,000.
Yeah, I'm still done. Yeah.
You already have something.
Well, I've got some news, but it doesn't really, like... I have a good friend who will remain unnamed because he doesn't even know about this podcast. Actually, no. I'll use his first name. You know Sean. You know, Big Sean to Buff Sean. Sean.
Dang, what is this? Call him fat.
Definitely don't know. Oh!
Yeah. That's Sean. There you go. Okay,
I do know.
There you go.
I do know.
So, like, yeah. He is selling his parents' cars right now because he's preparing to sell their house. When he said, I'm selling their cars, I was like, oh, that's cool. But he needed information like, can I sell a car without a title? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Just bill a sale. I mean, it's not going to be worth as much, but they're older cars anyways. I was like, just out of curiosity, because I had waited so long, because I didn't think, I thought they'd be Camrys. I was like, what are they?
Please be a Ranchero.
One of them was a 1997 Toyota pickup.
Ooh,
and
nice.
That's the indestructible thing I'd be taking to Alaska, because it has a camper top on the back, and it has 120-something thousand
miles
on.
In what world are you only paying $5,000 for that?
Well, he's not asking. He's asking, like, $3,000. Do you want it? Because, I mean, it's like,
yes.
it's for sale in real life, is the thing. It doesn't run. That's the cash.
Oh.
But it's the V6 one. Like, great power plant. And it's got... couple dents. It's not perfect.
Doesn't matter.
Anyways, the other car is an... Sorry, I will be done with this. Like,
no, just, you're good.
Other car is an 84 Monte Carlo. He said 89. They stopped making him an 88. So maybe it's an 88. I'm saying 84. It's whatever. I haven't even seen pictures. And the last car I got no pictures of, but he... Or sorry, he told me there's one more car in there. So it's actually four cars. It's a mid-90s Chevrolet pickup. And then...
A square body?
I guess, yeah. I don't know. Look up 1995 Chevrolet. If there's a body style change in there, 90, I'm sorry.
No,
I don't,
95,
I don't know.
I think would be... I think that would still be square, I think.
I did an 84 appraisal just a week ago, and that was square, so... There you go. You ready?
10 years in the past.
But, okay, but the last car was the most exciting one. He said, hey, and then my dad, he'd been fixing these cars, driving them, and just flipping some here and there. He just liked to have them. His parents had passed, that's why he's selling them in the first place. But he said, well, it's a Camaro. And I was like, well, but like, what kind of Camaro? You can't just say this. He's like, well, it's like really rough. I don't know many people that would probably want this. I don't even know what his definition of really rough is, but I know it's in his garage. I said, Sean, like, tell me your buddy. Is it a 60s Camaro? He said, I think it's a 67. And I was like,
how much does he want?
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. So I'm going to go see this car. If you want to, like, go halvesy, then buy me out of it. I'd be happy. Because
hey.
I know you want a 60s Camaro. And even if it's clap junk, it's one you can afford, which is getting harder and harder to get into.
As long as it has a semi-decent body, that's all we need.
I get it.
Why would we
need
that?
He wants a body. I see how it is.
That's what Bondo's for.
I love you, though. Yeah, we actually need something solid. But if it's missing the floors and has the roof, the quarters, and the... It doesn't even need the fenders. If it has that much, we're going for it.
Okay, so... Sorry. No, you can use that one. You can use that one, but, I mean...
No, I'm going to play the game. It's more fun. Plus,
well, no,
I love geotrackers, so I'm going to just figure out how to make that
work.
Okay, well, there you go. So, you have $5,000 to get there.
Oh.
So not just for the car.
So, gas, repairs, lodging.
Why would I ever repair something that cost me $800?
Food. Yeah, I know. That's the other thing is that, like, if you were just insane enough, you could just take Gary and just hope for the best.
I mean, I'm sure
it's cold enough, it wouldn't overheat.
Far.
Yeah.
He doesn't overheat anymore, is the problem, though.
It's the problem.
You think I could stay hot enough. Afford the oil it would cost to drive to Washington?
No, you
I don't think you could afford the hospital bill when it just died because. You know, because that's how that works. Well, Mr. Curtis,
well,
you're dead, so...
There's so much just carbon monoxide being pumped into the cabin actively because the floor plugs aren't in it anymore. Last time we drove it, my eyes watered,
speaking
and I was like,
of,
I can't breathe.
Speaking
that's,
of...
That's your own problem.
I'm sure you're aware of this.
You like that smell.
I'm sure you're aware of this, but your exhaust pipe on Gary is on palliative care.
Yeah.
I mean,
catalytic converter. It was removed by someone, but they left the housing, so they didn't really take the whole thing. They just took the platinum? Is that what they use?
I don't know.
I think it's platinum. It's not plutonium. That's what I almost said.
Picture's not that.
Adamantium.
That's right. Adamantium. Vibranium.
How about the vibranium?
All right, so it's 5,000
to get there. But like, so, you say Alaska, what part? Anchorage? Like, where's the dot?
Oh man,
does it really matter, Eddie?
I just think if you can cross the state line, you deserve to be acknowledged as completing the challenge.
At this point, I'm trying to find a small town in the contiguous United States called Alaska, and I'm going to arrive there and call it good enough.
I'm glad that Alaska somehow is in the contiguous 48 now.
You just said it's a city.
Yeah, I'm going to find a small town named Alaska, because you didn't care, so I was like, I'm just going to drive to Alaska, because it'll be closer here than I have to go through Canada.
Yeah, Canada. Okay, that is an important thing. We will assume, we won't count, like, fees of, like, crossing the border, because I don't even know what they would be anyways, so.
I don't either, because I'd probably just drive into the ocean and try to get around that.
Sure. Well, I'm pretty sure Canada won't let you in anyways, because we're Americans. Nothing about
not
COVID.
Rich enough.
Yeah.
This is never getting sponsored, nor will it ever be a fourth episode.
First option, people want $50,000 for a 2015 Jeep. Well, that's hilarious.
I didn't see that. Oh.
It's, yeah.
It's the old privacy screen.
I didn't even mean to buy it, funny enough.
What do you think, Zach? It's a Corvette. It's a C4. It could take you to Alaska.
It might.
Probably burn down. P.S. Blazer is not for sale. Well, that was the Alaska car I was really going to ask you about, Bill.
Price.
Should we get some elevator music going while this is just us staring?
Let's see. We'll try to talk through it.
So did you figure it would take roughly in gas?
So that's part of what we've got to do. So let me run it through maps right quick.
Okay.
Hey, Siri, take me to Alaska. Did you say...
Bake me in Alaskan?
Did you say Abe Lincoln?
No, I said...
Dang, this is so hardcore maps is having to load. Oh my gosh, it's showing the curve of the Earth.
That's beautiful. 2 days and 20 hours.
That's nothing.
There's no way we could do it. Tolls required. Is there any way to avoid that? No, there is not.
I thought we said we weren't counting.
That's true.
I assumed that was part of
the
trap.
We're just taking this to heart because we're actually paying for this at this point.
Yeah, we're going.
We would set aside the $5,000.
Episode 4 will be recorded in Anchorage.
Gosh, you know, not anything along the way. We've got to go through Minneapolis. Okay, we have to plan to be robbed at some point.
So make sure you don't have any cash.
This cracked windshield gives me maximum survivability in the cold.
Yeah. Gosh. Okay, guys. So here's your number. It's... Where'd it go? So it's 3,600 miles. So you have to go cross-reference anticipated miles per gallon to get your gas number.
Wait, is how much? Sorry.
3,600 miles.
Yeah.
Is what we're going with.
Good grief.
Okay, hold on. So let's just see if this is even doable. So... If you're getting 20 miles to the gallon, it's 180 gallons, which is, what, 350 right now? Oh, yeah, so that's doable.
It's 3.
Okay, so yeah, it's doable. But if your gas mileage is low enough, that's going to start to make a sizable difference in your...
I know I jokingly said geotracker, but they get good gas mileage.
Do you buy one? Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but that's... Okay, so this is part of the fun, though. So that's everything. So you'd have to sleep in a geotracker.
Yeah, it's only like 2 days, 3 days.
I've done worse.
Two solid days of driving.
You're thinking of you versus me also, if we're just being nice and fair.
Plus, I mean, a geotracker, you could just take the back seat out and have a blow-up mattress back there.
I don't think you all have ever seen a geotracker before.
Actually driven one, so...
You couldn't put a blow-up mattress in the back.
I didn't say that. He did. I'm just saying... I'm
mad at you.
I haven't seen one. I'm just throwing ideas.
You've never
out.
Seen a geotracker?
I've seen one.
How are you
one.
Deprived okay. so much?
My ex bought one.
Yeah,
your Xbox one?
Yeah.
My plan.
Can I just drive my Jeep?
Do you think a Ranger with 275,000 miles on it is going to make it?
No, you're talking about squirrel power for the squirrel cage and the electric motor.
I'm buying it first. Well, here's one with
is it this one?
Here's one with 1,000,000 miles, so I'll buy that one instead.
I'm gonna bust this conversation wide open.
I wonder what the
why is that a Suzuki Samurai?
Oh my gosh, here's a lowered Ranger on some rent a wheel 12 spokes. Oh, this is it. It's in Rockford. Yeah, this is what I need.
This is a stick.
This is a sick
slammed automatic Ford Ranger short bed extended cab.
Dude, I don't know what it was about the 90s.
Has a blown head gasket and it wants
That's nothing. You just pour some more oil in and keep going.
You know, not coolant either, because that's what's seeping into the combustion chamber.
Four-door S10, but it's $5,000, so it has to get there on whatever gas is in it.
What if you could pee in that thing and it'd keep that's going?
Gosh, a four-door S10 would be the trick, man.
Gas.
You boys are sleeping on this Suzuki Samurai, John.
Dude, I'm not. Yeah, thank you. I don't know why I think a Ranger is going to be so much better.
It's slightly better.
Okay.
If it's an extended cab, it is.
Yeah, if you take out the front seat, I don't know how you're getting any more room out of it.
This is definitely, definitely.
You know, this is quitter talk. I'm going to find something very extreme that you all will just crucify me over.
The Ranger got 22. According to the internet.
There is no chance that this is not a scam, so I'm going to spend my 1,000 on that scam. So I'm now down to 4,000.
Oh, God.
Times three. Okay, so I'm spending about 500 on gas if I do that. Interesting.
Dang. If he's not even going to bother to say runs good, and he's going to say runs pretty good, that's troubling.
Dude, I think I found it. This Ranger I found, you know, it's the classic, you know, if runs good, doesn't have any issues. If that part checks out, you know, and isn't a lie.
You all actually want to make it there. I'm doing the Jeremy Clarkson. I'm going to find something that breaks down in Alabama, and then...
Gosh, we drive south.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is this dude has side exhaust on his Ranger and some beautiful three-spoke wheels, like, straight out of the 90s. This thing's magic.
That's like the first one you started with.
It is.
The one problem with the Ranger, though, you've not worked out how you're going to sleep.
But...
Oh, my gosh.
Currently, I have $1,000 extra.
So you're going to do the hotel route.
Potentially.
Huh. Well, fair enough.
$60 a night.
How many
hotel things?
Jimmy Burger.
Gonna die of AIDS. You picked up off a towel.
Golly, fuck.
That is rough.
Let's see. What about a CRV?
What about a
greatest car ever built?
I
will hear no slander.
$1,500. This thing.
I'm done. Whoa. I found my junk.
I
don't know what to tell you all. You're going to hate me because this is just the most Daniel Curtis thing that could happen.
Huh.
All right. I'm done.
Check engine light is on for EVAP/O2 sensors, which can affect fuel mileage.
Why do you have O2 sensors? You didn't get something carbureted so it would be miserable and
nice in the winter. Again, I don't know why I expected anything different out of you.
Again, I'm looking at CRVs. Oh my gosh, they want...
Yeah, why is it not carbureted? I ask again. I know plenty of people that take fuel injection off in East Tennessee and throw on a set of carburetors like it's better.
This is one of those the CRV EX Sport, like the Type Rs.
I'm keeping this secret till the end. We're just gonna.
So here's a 2004 Ford Escape for $1,500. Says it runs great, but the transmission makes noise.
Oh, dude.
The only issue is you make it halfway there and you buy a new transmission.
Gosh, this is a
he never said you have to make it back. You can make it there, leave
on
it.
On a limp transmission.
Or sell it for scrap and then take that plane ticket home. Or hitchhike. I don't know what's more successful. You're the kind of guy who wants to get killed, so hitchhiking's probably more your speed.
I don't know why I'm dying. I just wanted some bed buddies.
Oh, this has Bluetooth, so I'm good. I'll at least have that.
On the side of the road.
Yeah, something to listen to. Okay, yep, I found mine, I think. Because it leaves me enough room.
Okay, are we going to pass our phones clockwise and just...
I think I've
grill each other? Okay, never mind.
This one's actually going to be a little bit fun.
No, does this thing run?
Probably not, if that's what you're asking.
No motor, no transmission. All right.
I can't. I
Wait, he's throwing in a little folding table. This is perfect!
Come on, guys.
I'm serious. It's in the pictures.
Dude, I found your next Mustang.
What are you doing right now?
You're taking a Mustang. Ugh, yeah, that's Daniel's style.
I saw that earlier today. You should have known that already. No wheels, and I'm on top of that.
At all.
Hey, speaking of CRVs, mine's about to cross over 270,000.
That's amazing.
Impressive. Dude, it's the best. All right.
Didn't Mazda make a great car?
Okay, I don't know who to shoot, me or you. Wow, okay, yeah, this is, I found mine. Cool. It's even a 5-speed, which will be fun.
You say that now.
Yeah.
CRVs are front-wheel drive, right?
Or all-wheel drive.
Well, which one's that?
This is an LX. I don't know what year this, I don't know if this would be this. No, this is all-wheel drive. Cool. Cool. Very cool.
How is this thing so bad, yet I'm still looking at it?
So the other thing that we're, like, need to be discussing is you could not get a Ranger up to Alaska. No.
Two-wheel drive.
No, I'm going to die on that hill. If someone really argues about the Ranger, I don't give you a pass because I just don't think you could do it.
Like,
a two-wheel
livability
drive.
Or, okay.
Yeah. Well, and that, too, that there's you'd have to sleep in places. All right, I'm going to start building my budget on my notes here.
Those are the blurriest pictures I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know what you...
Barely started. He didn't want to actually do anything with that. Oh my gosh. Oh, well, that's...
Here it is, boys. The exact truck I used to own.
Oh,
a 95 300 straight set.
Is it two-wheel drive?
Looks like it.
You are not going to make it.
I'll make it. It's called roads. That's fine.
Y'all are kidding yourselves. Forget Canada. How are you going to get through North Dakota?
I don't know what you're talking about. All
right, Zach, that's it. Let's see, 3,600. I'm going to give myself...
Am I about to alter my filter this far into it?
I don't know. I've swapped cars a couple times. And I think I arrived at something horrible that I will end up doing. This looks like the kind of junk I would drive to Alaska. By the amount of oil he keeps in the back seat.
Oh, yeah.
I know I'm arriving in Alaska because it does run.
Gosh.
At least he's honest. Let's see. That's a 5-quart and that's 3 more. So the man has 8 quarts of oil in the back.
Oh, that is your
he
kind of
actually car. Drives this. That's the only thing I can prove with that.
Okay, how much does a buddy heater cost? Because if you think I'm not sleeping in this thing, you are kidding yourself. I'm getting the big buddy.
This is a mechanic special. As in, he's a mechanic and he lost all his money and it's ready for me.
Okay, $100 for the buddy heater. I'll probably need $30 worth of propane. We'll have to buy the stupid little cans.
How is this only $1,000?
Windshield wiper relay went out? Well, I'd have to fix that before we went out.
You know, it's always a good sign when all they do is give you an interior shot and don't show you the outside
car. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know if I'm really wanting to make it or die, because there's a really good possibility I could make it in two of the cars I've saved.
So, I'm going to call my... buddy here, budget $200. Let's see. I need an air mattress.
Oh my gosh.
To take a fake Roush.
Huh. $12.99 a piece. I can buy a backup in case the first air mattress craps out. So $25 for the air mattress.
It's been way too much money. Do I get to keep some of this money if I don't spend it?
Gosh.
You know how I work.
Oh my god.
I will be miserable to save money.
What if what you say you get, you could make it $5,000 to get there and back. I'm just saying, and then like if you had enough left over, just buy a plane ticket home. Okay, let's see. Blankets. I need good, warm, cheap blankets.
This is amazing. This is actually what I'm doing. You're still going to crucify me because it's rear-wheel drive, but that's okay.
So we're just assuming that no rear-wheel drive car can make it up there?
I'm not going to buy that, honestly, because you could put it in low, and if you buy some knobby tires, I'm going to say that's going to do the trick. Now, when I'm doing donuts out in the snow, because I can't get up a hill, y'all could just laugh or pee on me, but
I think you should have to buy chains if you're going to do a rear-wheel drive only car.
See, I don't actually believe that.
Wow, Five Below has plush blankets for $5 each, so I'm buying 10 blankets, so that's $50.
But I'll buy chains.
I'm excited just, about whatever you're getting.
Just to play the game.
So you gotta go price them right quick.
I am.
Oh, wait a second. I've been just spending money like crazy. I haven't actually been keeping up with... Oh, no, I'm at $4,700, so I've got $300... Okay.
What did we figure gas was going to cost?
It's 3,600 miles.
Well, I get that.
Oh, $3 a gallon is what we're assuming.
Okay.
Although that wouldn't be true either, because we have cheaper gas here than anywhere else.
Yeah, but let's just average it out and call it three.
Three, that's fine.
And you said 3,600?
3,600 miles. Oh, crap. I've got to do an oil change before I leave, because that's 3,600 miles. Brings the grand total to. Interesting. Okay, girls.
Give me the average rundown. What did you end up spending? You got heaters, blankets.
My gas only cost $600. What was yours?
Well, I figured it for the Ranger, it was $500, but it was getting 20.
See, I gave myself a huge gas budget. So that's funny.
Just on the off chance.
Yeah. So I gave myself $675 for a gas budget, which is assuming 16 miles to the gallon. But mine's all-wheel drive and a 5-speed, so I won't do as good. And CRVs are amazing for a lot of things. Gas mileage isn't one of them. Okay, so I spent $3,750 buying the car, $675 for gas, $200 was my portable heater budget. Propane heater budget, $25 for $25 for blankets because Five Below. No. What was
$50 for blankets because you bought 10?
Yeah, I bought 10 of them and $50 for an oil change. What on earth was the $25
mattress?
Oh, that's two twin air mattresses from Walmart.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, that leaves me $250 to eat and survive on for driving. What I think would be ultimately driving about 4 days.
You don't want to kill yourself trying to do it in like 2.5, 3?
Absolutely.
I'm just saying that actually it would be more than 4 days. Because if you drove 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which I wouldn't even want to do that. Let's see, if you did 12 hours, it's 2 days, 16 hours, so it's 20, it's 40 hours. So, yeah, it'd take 4 days. So, the only problem with my plan is, like, everything has to go well, you know?
Yeah. I think that's pretty true of anything, though.
Yeah. I mean, but you could buy, like, a $2,000 car, and you'd have room to, like, have stuff go poorly.
Really wrong.
Yeah.
How much was your car?
$3,750.
Dang.
You were on the high side.
That's okay. Well, it sounds like you did what I did. Which means we'll be paying out the butt as we go.
Honestly, that Ranger's still the best thing I found. It's the very first car I looked at.
Gosh. All right. Break it down for us. You want me to get my calculator out?
So the Ranger costs $3,500.
Okay.
It's going to be... The gas breakdown.
You had yourself at $5?
Well, it's actually $4.90, but I'm assuming.
Yeah, we're
some leeway in there.
We're gonna put you at
Honestly, I would put it at $5.50.
Okay, so
just to you're at get 4, it that much more.
All right, you're at $4,050.
I don't know. I haven't done the rest of my breakdown.
Oh, okay,
yet.
Sorry. Are you gonna try to sleep it? Are you gonna do hotels?
I don't know, because we're at. I have $9.50 left.
Yeah.
And we're talking 4 days.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't sleep in the back of it as cold as it is without some sort of...
Oh, no. But, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to
Leave the car running, leave the heat on.
Yeah.
Hope there's not carbon monoxide just piling just in.
Just sitting upright in a little Ford Ranger. Just
you'd have to, well,
it's an XL cab. You get 2 inches.
Or you could think of it this way. You take out your passenger seat. No one's riding with you. And try to create some space. Knock out your back seat. And, I mean, yeah, you're sleeping in an L, but it's better than having your...
Actually, that's a great idea.
Like, you could peanut this thing. You could Andrew Benson your... man, what'd he take to...
Was it his Land Rover?
Yeah. I know I couldn't sleep like that because I tried to do that going to the beach last fall.
What, setting up or
just like sideways? Yeah, I could not do it.
I had to sleep in the driver's seat of the Elantra because we almost died from sewage gas staying in an Airbnb on our vacation. Rochelle and I did. It was good.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I slept in an Elantra, not upright because it leans back pretty far, but it was not comfortable. Did that also on Highway 1 in California. I'm homeless is what you should really take away from this. Anyone listening, I'm just absolutely homeless. So this challenge is easy for me.
My grandmother, like, came shy of cussing me when she found out that we slept in the car at a rest stop on the way to the beach. And I'm like, Memo, that's literally what they build those for. She's like, they're not staying. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. She's like, you should have got a hotel. I'm like, you're going to pay
$150? How is a hotel safer, though?
That's what, like, I wanted to know. I'm like, I'm not leaving my guitar out in the car. Like, you know, anyways. Okay, so
would I have $950 left?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Did you buy chains yet?
No. Did you look up chains?
Yeah, so my chains cost me $480, and that's just a set of four.
Jeez. Okay.
I didn't even buy a spare. I'm assuming these things hold together.
All right, so take my $480 out. So now I've got what?
Hold on. You've got $470.
Okay, that's doable.
You eating on that?
Yeah, it's gonna be.
Yeah, you're gonna be. No, you got to do a breakfast. You gotta steal a bunch of stuff and eat on it during the day.
What?
No.
Can you pack food from home? Or are we not allowing?
Oh no, yeah, you could. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I meant, like, if he stayed... A lot
of snacks, my man.
If he stayed at a bed and breakfast, he could...
I just steal them for the breakfast.
Yeah,
just
all day long. Yeah.
How else would we do this, honestly? Days. And know your freebies. Like, I love Pilots because, I mean, that shower's cheap, and I'm going to want that at some point. So
that's true.
Like, I'm just talking from a guy who did appraising, and I didn't even go that far, but even going to... Well, I went to Florida, and I went to Alabama a couple times. Like, just being able to stop and shower somewhere when you know you're just pretty much going to stay on the road. Because, like, the thing was, it was 2 days of travel, so I felt disgusting. But I didn't stay in a hotel, because once I got down there, I did the job. I wasn't going to stay in stupid Florida, so I wanted to come back. So I just cleaned up and kept going.
No, I get it. I cannonballed Tampa Bay one time. Left a burial across Clinch Mountain. Like, we were in Treadway, 2 hours from home at, like... 2?
Isn't it wild how disgusting you feel just driving straight?
But isn't it funny? We used to do such stupid stuff.
Still do.
Yeah.
But cannonball Tampa Bay overnight to make it to a noon bowl game.
Good.
Yeah, oh, dude, it was rough stuff. Okay, so you got 470.
Yeah. I'm pretty much coming out of this eating crackers for 4 days.
And Welch's fruit snacks.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to get name brand.
Well, he'll get them from here.
Because at that point,
you're not going to get
any hotel.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's not going to be a fun hotel to be
you
at.
You wouldn't want to do the hotel. You can afford that. So at that point, I would get a mattress, which you said is 10 or 15 for a twin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that. Blankets, another 50.
You know what, though? One thing we didn't think about, if you're going to do the hotel route. You're going to be confined to where hotels are.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's going to be stretches of North Dakota, for example, where you're going to have to stop. So you can probably still do it in 4 days. You're just going to have to probably do more driving on one day. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be
right.
Dang. Decisions. So you're going to try to. So you got 470 to make it. With hotels.
No, I got less than that. Well,
oh yeah, you're gonna buy a twin to sleep on and
let's see.
A tarp to lay over the bed.
No, I'd probably go the route Daniel said and just take that passenger seat out. and just slide the driver's seat all the way forward at night.
Huh.
You could at least wedge the twin back there.
Yeah.
If it didn't lay
down. You would be a human taco, a very stuffed taco, but...
But it, that'd probably be good in the cold.
Yeah, you keep your heat.
You'd do it for the first night, then you'd get a hotel the next night.
Well, saved enough money to last 3 days in a hotel.
Gosh, that's funny. You could do four nights in a hotel for $470.
So did you get a car heater to make yours livable? A propane?
No, I've got a propane buddy heater.
How much was that?
I budgeted $150 for the heater and the propane. Because you have to buy the little camper cans.
Gotcha, yeah. Hmm. Yours actually sounds sort of doable, Zach. Like, you've got enough money to play with. So if you have an oh crap moment, you hit a Walmart somewhere.
There is one fatal flaw to my plan, and I have to concede that I've forgotten it until just now.
What is it?
The middle seats on a CRV do not fold flush with the cargo portion.
Oh my god.
So just take them out before you even leave.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fine, see?
Alright, y'all, yeah.
I mean, we agreed I took my seat, my passenger seat out.
Like, there's gotta be some prep to this, honestly. Because, like,
when you figure out...
I'm going to buy this thing and then driving it...
When you figure out what my car is, you're gonna laugh at me, but I'm also gonna tell you exactly what I'm doing to it, so...
Okay, so, alright, so Zach's settled, right?
I think so.
Alright.
Because it leaves me roughly $250 for, like, food. I mean, you'd have to be pretty stingy with it, but
yeah,
you could survive on 4 days
and
that.
I really think that, in all seriousness, I really think that you could just... Because these people at these hotels don't care. You could load up on crap from the breakfast. I'm serious.
And at least count your lunch that way.
Yeah. And then just eat Taco Bell.
Ugh.
Don't you want 4 days of Taco Bell in a row while sitting all day?
Yeah, I'm sure my intestines would live after that.
I wouldn't even wear a diaper. I'd just put a hole in my seat and the floorboard and just let it rip.
Just do Randy Benson style. Just like, take your seat out and put a bucket with the old toilet seat on it.
That's amazing. Alright.
So I pretty much used every penny, but I got there, I think.
I admire you. That's impressive.
Now, Daniel's going to come in $2,000 under budget.
No, I'm not. You're going to be impressed, because I spent money to make this one work. Because I'm all about the car, which means I'm going to die.
Let's hear it.
I found a 1985 Oldsmobile Cutlass with 123,000 miles on it.
Can I see a picture?
Yeah, he's actually just rebuilt a lot of it.
Oh my gosh, you're dead.
So, it's $2,800.
Okay.
And
it's got racing seats.
No, it's the stock seats.
Oh, okay. I saw something wrong.
See?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, gosh, I like those seats.
Yeah, they're pretty bougie. I'd really mess this thing up and make some people mad. But
it's got Indy badges.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
What's
okay.
cool, though, is that you've got trunk access through the back. So I can do the old keep my legs in there. So I also understand it's very, very cold. So what I would do to prep this thing is I would put my lower half of my body into the trunk so my torso could stay in the cabin area, which will probably
be
warmer.
So we won't have legs when we're done.
Well, no, because I'm going to pack it with blankets, and I'm going to use your buddy heater system. That's why I piggybacked off of you $150 for that.
In the trunk, so he lights the blankets on.
No. In the cabin, so I stay warm and can monitor it. Okay. I'm just saying, all that is very doable. The chains cost me $480 because it is a rear-wheel drive car. I would change the oil, which is going to be, hopefully, somewhere in the neighborhood of $100. But let me get the breakdown. Yeah, so the 1985 Cutlass was $2,800. Gas is going to take $6, but I'm allotting for $750. Chains were $480.
$4.
Mm-hmm. And the buddy heater is $150.
So $450, and then you can buy your blankets and stuff. Heck, you've got enough money though. You could stay in a hotel.
Yeah,
that's actually sort of the thing. Is like I have not $1,000, but a little under $1,000 of wiggle room.
You know, the other thing about a buddy heater, though, is that it's going to be so cold on these cars that you're going to need it to help thaw these stupid things out to get them back on the road after you park.
Oh, absolutely. Well, so that's the other thing, is like, would you just leave it running through the night?
No.
Well, depending on where you're at, honestly, if you have to stop, would you really risk not being able to start the car in a situation where someone can't help you for hours and you're in the cold? I mean, like, we're there, but if all three of our cars are dead.
That's the other thing, that if we were going to do it together and somebody was going to stop at hotels, like, you just kind of have to agree to
be the support.
Yeah.
That's wild. Which cars do you think would actually make it, though?
That Ranger would crap out halfway.
I think the CRV would actually make it. But how many miles were on the CRV?
Just 220.
It
depends on how, what kind of.
Yeah, I know. That's fair. Because, like, you don't know till you see it.
That's only 10,000 miles a year. Because it's a 98.
That's wild, actually. That really is. However, you know that's just how it breaks down as a math guy. That's not how someone actually drove that.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just, yeah.
Someone drove it 80,000 miles in the last 4 years, 5 years.
No oil changes.
Yeah, good stuff. But, I mean, same thing with this Cutlass. He did a lot, like, in the description. Okay, it's a 85 Oldsmobile. He misspelled Cutlass, but Indy 500 version.
Your gas.
New tires, brakes, power steering pump.
That's what I was.
Battery alternator. Yeah, but like, I just.
Hey, ether's cheap.
Yeah.
I don't have the money to spare to leave my car running for 4 days.
Yeah, no, I get that. But it's also, it's more about the charging system, though. It's the whole argument about electric cars in the north. They don't have a place.
Yes.
Because they get drained. I don't care about getting it started on ether. If it was a Model T, I'd crank it over by hand and we'd be fine. But it's not. So you have to So do you take your battery out of your car and put it in the cabin with you?
Yes.
So it stays warm?
Absolutely. So it into the hotel. Yeah, excuse me. Sorry.
Well, I mean, sillier things have been done. I mean, think about what Roadkill has had to do to achieve some of their quote-unquote victories.
Nothing they've done has ever been a victory.
It's 7:30. I'm gonna get killed. How did we go over so wildly? I thought it was 6 to 7.
That's your wife, man. I don't know. You gotta take that up with her.
Okay, sorry, listeners. We thought this was an hour. It's not.
Well,
it's
we're gonna
a lot edit more.
Some stuff out. It's fun.
We did not start at 6. We've only been recording an hour.
Oh, that's fair.
Which, to that point, okay, so...
Okay, sorry, yeah. So the CR-V is probably making it. You don't think the Ranger's making it?
Only because it has 275,000 miles on it. Honestly, well,
is it,
looks
it... Oh, is
not
it...
the best.
I didn't actually look at a lot of pictures of it.
Wait,
I would
is
be
it the 3.0? Or, I mean, what's in it?
It's a 4.0.
Ooh. Oh, well, that's the most dependable. Is it a V6 Ranger?
Yeah.
If it's the V6 4.0, those are good.
And that's
engines.
Definitely
going to
be
They're
one
solid.
Of those that it's like, it's either going to not be a problem at all, or you're not going to make it, like...
Kind
of
like the CR-V,
no
honestly, if it's just not maintained.
He has no pictures of the engine bay, though, so you never know
of course,
what
to,
condition that
to be
4.0 is
fair, in. Some people will sit there and spray tire shine on a freaking rag...
Sing a side exhaust?
That's what I said!
You're a freaking legend.
Is that chalk paint?
I hope so.
Whatever it is, it's great. This thing actually looks more spacious than I thought an extended cab would.
Okay.
I think you could do that.
One thing I will say, and I'm not, like, this doesn't matter until the day we really do it, but I will, actually, this is how I'm going to say this.
Go for it.
If we really were going to do something like this, which, funny enough, we really kind of could, not that we should.
We should,
unless,
though.
Well, if we were monetized, then we could make it up on...
I'm doing it for a vacation,
okay.
So I hate my life when
a
I come back to work.
Very vacation.
I'm spending $5,000 on a vacation that's not to drive a Ranger class.
I was going to say, one thing that I would like...
Go fund me.
Not to be right, but out of genuine concern, I would really fight nail and tooth for you to not expect to be able to sleep in a Ranger for 4 days. Like, I would really fight that fight. Just, again, just because I'm like, man, that's, you know. And
so
would
he come sleep in the CR-V?
That's true. We could do it that way. Dang, we are all getting blown up. So apparently, our time is coming to an end.
Whoa, I just want to know everyone's genuine take.
Let's get
would,
to the end here.
Would
oh, sorry,
the Cutlass yeah. make it? Guys, it's the most skeptical one
it
for
is.
Some reason.
High risk, high reward.
Yes. It's not even a... It's a dependable power plant.
It is.
Because I think it's a 3.8.
Gosh.
Which is a V6. That has been in everything. That has been through multiple car wrecks in the Pontiac Grand Prix and been fine.
That dang 3.8 cost me a date at the zoo.
God. Oh, that's right, in the LeSabre,
that's
yeah.
That's right, yeah.
That, but, like, they have a track record of being dependable old people movers. That's about
what
it.
What you need, yeah.
It is.
I think that yours would be, I think the trunk access thing is hilarious.
Him being cheap, though.
Yeah.
It's funny to me because he has the room to probably work out a hotel.
Yeah.
In a pretty decent hotel.
Yeah.
But.
That is funny.
Funny. I think you would probably be fine.
Because I like misery.
Yeah. You're willing to handle a lot more than I am.
Yeah.
Zach would be busting my windows out, taking that $700 and walking to a hotel. He'd come back in the morning, I'd be an ice cube.
Old Jim Sickle,
I would have died there.
Plot twist, busting the window kept you from suffocating from carbon monoxide poisoning because you fell asleep with the buddy cab running.
Yeah, that's the best. Are there any better ways to stay warm in that scenario?
I'm sure, but I'm sure they cost more.
Yeah.
You think they make a heated blanket that would plug into, like, a cigarette lighter?
Absolutely. You know what I thought about, though?
But do you want to leave your car running? Or do you want to just drain it?
Here's what I thought about, though. They make power banks that are big enough now. You could just plug it into a power bank and charge it off the car all day. I thought about that.
That's pretty smart. I like that a lot better than the buddy heater.
It just costs more than...
Two heated blankets so you can lay on one and have one on top of you.
That's right.
That's a ton of heat.
You could also just keep one in your shirt when you're driving.
Yeah.
For people that aren't as fat as me, that probably is a good idea, but I'm like a whale. All
right, so anyone listening, we need a... I don't know.
We need about
$1,500.
Gosh.
Zach can't do math. We need $1,500. 15 grand?
It's 5,000 a piece.
Oh, I can't do math.
Woo!
Okay. I made it cheaper than it was, and then I crucified Zach over it.
Pin the donations to me or Zach.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'll allocate $1,500 a piece for us to do this, and we'll ride tricycles there. Oh, and the rest of the money will just get...
You know what's funny?
Thrown into a mortgage payment.
You know what's funny? If people gave us the money to do it, I would honor it. I would do it.
I would too. Yeah. I'd be fine with that.
We could do it.
We just need 15 people who really hate us.
To give us $1,000.
To watch us suffer.
That's awesome.
Yep, time to call Mavic.
Wish I knew who that was.
It may PC.
Oh. Yikes.
Yeah, I was getting a little bit too real.
Well, that was it. The dipstick was watery. The conversation was terrible. We're your hosts.
The burping was incessant. The breathing was loud.
And labored.
But the cereal is gone, so we're done.
Well, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Spotify.
Facebook?
And nope. Apple.
Good.
Nope.
Well done.
Apple.
Stay off the metaverse.
Apple Podcasts.
Oh, yeah, we're on Apple these days. That's crazy.
We have one listener.
I'm so impressed with us.
It's me.
Until next time.
Adios. I'll get a math degree.
If you're still here for some reason, here's one of our rougher outtakes from this episode. And don't forget to follow Water on the Dipstick every other Friday on your favorite streaming service.
And I was struck by how got dog problem. Hey, Mo.